How many of you would consider yourself more of an introvert? All right, how many of you would, hopefully the rest of you, but how many of you would say you're more of an extrovert? All right. Do you, and this is for either, and I know it's hard, because if you're one or the other, it's hard to kind of put yourself in the other side of it, or the other extreme. How many of you feel like you're really well balanced? You're kind of right in the middle. All right, that's a less than the other two groups. So that's good. So maybe it would be better for that group there. But I'll open it up to anybody. Your thoughts on this? Let me kind of preface this. Most introverts, or would you agree or disagree that for most introverts, discussion and conversation isn't as needed or necessary for them? Would you agree or disagree with that? All right. Okay. All right. So small talk is out. It's more right when I need something or I need to talk, we talk. Otherwise, don't really have a need for it. Don't need to just talk about the weather and whatever, just to hear myself talk. All right. So for an extroverts, it's a lot easier. All right. That they thrive on that. They get energy from talking and conversing with others. So let's try, if we could kind of carry that over into our spiritual lives, is it more difficult for an introvert to spend extended periods of prayer with the Lord? Would you agree or disagree? Just throwing that out there. Is it more difficult for an introvert to have an extended time of prayer? Again, because it's not something, you know, they don't really feel the need to talk or to discuss things. So would it be harder for them to say, okay, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to sit down and pray? Or would it be more kind of really throughout the day, they're taking small amounts of time praying here and there and kind of throughout the day, where an extrovert would be more like, okay, I'm just going to take 30 minutes and pour out my heart to God and just spread it all out there, because that makes, you know, I feel like I'm connecting with God at that moment more. And then kind of maybe the rest of the day, it's not as prevalent in their minds. Chris. Okay. Right.
My Lord and me, so that's kind of a quiet endeavor. But I can be an extrovert when I need to. I mean, I can, you know, talk to people in school and, you know, do things like that. But my preference is to kind of stay back.
All right. Other thoughts, John? Okay.
As the situation comes.
All right. Clint?
I would just say it's two different types of prayer. One is you're more listening for God's voice. Other one, you're filling space with your own words and petitions. So, both extremes would be sure, you know, extreme introverts and extreme extroverts. I think I'm more balanced according to Myers-Briggs, but I would say if you're an introvert, to her point, that's more intimate.
Okay, and I understand congratulations are in order for y'all. Okay. Melissa's expecting. Notice the glow. All right. Other thoughts? Yep.
I am very introverted.
Right.
But I don't consider prayer to be difficult or not as long necessary because, like, I believe that I know God. He is the person or being that I go to during desperate times and someone that I be comfortable to talk to. To have those long periods of prayer and even know that He does provide and feel comfort and that comfort. Remind me and then correct me if I need to be looking back. It's hard and it's kind of introverted.
Okay. All right. Other thoughts? Yeah, and you know, and I guess kind of some conversations that I've had, you know, what I've heard is, you know, as an introvert, I pray, but then I kind of run out of things to pray about. You know, it's, you know, I don't have this mile long list of things, and, you know, I pray about things that I feel are necessary, and then that's kind of, I've said my thing and I'm done, and then later in the day I think, oh, you know, I need to pray about these things too, and so then I have another time of just, you know, again, they don't stop and just, you know, go in a closet somewhere to pray, but, you know, it's just as things come to mind throughout the day, and they are, you know, they're thinking throughout the day, and, you know, as the Holy Spirit brings things to them, then they pray about it. But the struggle is, you know, I don't have 30 minutes of things that I feel like I'm really being, I don't even know what word to use there or what word was used, but, you know, almost, I think Clint, you might've said it where they're just starting to repeat things or pray for unnecessary things. Any other thoughts?
Well, I work with you. That's my name.
Okay.
I always have big grace support. Maybe when I was younger, it was more my primary leader, just what I would do in his strong. Doesn't came to know the strength of the glory of God and how He fits in my life. I pray all the time. Begin my day with her and in my night. Her and thanking God for that day.
Right.
You know, He has blessed me so much, Steve, as you know. And just a little sidelight. You know, we Gideons, we meet every Saturday for prayer. But this Saturday we also prayed, but also we went to our president's house. We do inventory of the hotel Bibles. And so sometimes we'll get the Bibles that have been marked in or whatever. We'll set them aside, we'll take care of them, we'll just replace them. Well, Saturday, what we do, and we're preparing for a prison ministry. I'm not sure where it will be. It might be here. It'll be somewhere. So we've taken our excess Bible that we have. We don't want to throw away. But we can't give them to prison because they have hard covers. And as we know, the prisoners will take those hard covers and make weapons out of them. So what we do, we cut the covers off and we replace them with the soft.
That's
what we did Saturday. Okay. So we prepared like 3 or 4 cases, and that's about 3 or 4 in Bibles. So we're ready. We're preparing for the next step of operation. So I've learned to be an extrovert, but always have God with me.
Right.
And you know, as I'm working, sometimes on top of the same new message.
Yes, sir. Yeah. All right. Greg, were you going to say something? Did you have your hand up? Okay.
I got to talk to God all day long to keep myself from stepping over too many lines.
All right.
Because, you know, I stubbed my toe. I be at home barefoot, long ago construction. That kind of stuff.
They make steel-toed boots, so you can get a pair. Okay. Kind of like your head. All right. Any other thoughts? Just wanted to get your all's input on that, get some thoughts and feedback. All right. John 14, 16 and 17. I don't feel like very many extroverts spoke up on that one. It was mostly the introverts. All right, John 14, 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." All right, so last week we left off. I challenged you to think about what are the characteristics of a person, or what makes a person a person. Who did their homework? If not, if you're an extrovert, just kind of think and start talking. Because we know extroverts think as they're talking, and introverts have to think first and then speak. So, all right, a person is made in the image of God. Yes. Chris.
Where you're from and how you were raised.
Okay, all right. All right, maybe we should say what sets a person apart from an animal as well. We could kind of broaden the question a little bit. John.
The capacity for empathy for your fellow
man. All right, empathy for fellow humans. Chris.
Conscience.
All right, conscience. All right, as opposed to just doing things out of, I've drawn a blank, come on.
Instinct,
yes, thank you. Thank you, Jim. All right, Troy. All right, a soul. All right, so people have souls, animals, to the best that we can determine, do not. Never actually talked to one to figure that out, but I don't think they do.
They're made to, they're made to rule over things.
All right, man was made to rule over.
We have a job here in this world to do things.
All right, good. All right, Josh. All right, knowledge and wisdom. Okay, what else? Yep, Chris.
Desire to worship.
All right, desire to worship. Good. What else? What makes a person, or what are characteristics of a person?
Personality.
Okay, good. Anything else? Good, John. All right. The ability to differentiate between right and wrong. Well, normally we still know what's right and wrong. We just choose not to do the right thing. Communication. Okay.
Actions.
Okay.
An agent of
transformation. All right. Being an agent of transformation. Good. If you had to simplify it into three main things, what might they be? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Three main categories?
Mind, body, soul.
Really close to what I had.
Body, soul, and spirit.
How about knowledge, will, and emotion? Feedback on that one. All right.
Animals can have knowledge. They build the ones they have will, they want to eat. They get ticked off, they get emotions. So, yeah, I mean.
All right, so in that part we are, okay, so, and I know some of those bleed over, we'll have another slide. I was trying to get you away from how we are similar to animals, but in this regard, okay, yes, I can see that, but we are, well, anyway.
Basically, the upshot of the book is that human beings
Okay. So do zebras really not get ulcers?
Most animals don't.
Okay.
Yeah. But we do. We have all these.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all these illnesses and diseases usually caused by stress and anxiety and things that we can't change and things that we get to even happen.
Okay. All right, so we, you know, as a human, as a person, and we could, I guess, make the same argument for animals, but we have the ability to know, to understand, to recognize, have meaning. Maybe that goes a little beyond an animal. A will, the ability to make choices and decisions on the basis of what we choose to do, not just instinct like an animal, but, you know, it's not that response to external stimuli. So, you know, animal, you know, if you poke the bear, you know, don't be surprised when he smacks you upside the head with his claws open, kind of idea. You know, if the lion's hungry and you happen to walk by, chances are he's going to jump on you and eat you because he's hungry, kind of idea. You know, he's not making his choice or decision on right or wrong. You know, it's based on I'm hungry and I want to eat, and the first thing that walks by that looks good, that's my going to be my breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the day, kind of idea. And then emotion, the ability to feel and have and express feelings, be aware of them. And again, I know animals can have emotion, whether they are actually aware of them or not. Again, I guess that'd be a whole nother discussion on that. Whether they actually are aware of them or they're just acting upon them and don't really understand why they feel the way they do, kind of idea. But just we've talked about the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit a person? You know, so trying to prep you, does the Holy Spirit have knowledge? Does the Holy Spirit have a will? Does the Holy Spirit have emotion? Trying to get us to think down that line. And we would say that the Holy Spirit is a person, and it can be observed in six ways. We won't get through all of them today. But does the Holy Spirit have the characteristics of a person? All right, would be the first thing that we have to decide. You know, does the Holy Spirit have knowledge, will, and emotion from what we see in Scripture? All right, yes. All right, so, what's that? Right, he can be grieved. You know, he can have joy. You know, he has different emotions. He has desire for, to be followed, to be led, or to lead, things of that nature. So we would say, yes, he does have the characteristics of a person. You know, in what ways does he act like a person? All right, he teaches us. He's a teacher. He gives knowledge. He imparts knowledge. What else? All right, he comforts us. All right, he is a comforter. So just like, you know, if you have a friend, if you have a child that's hurting, you strive to comfort them. All right, the Holy Spirit does similar. He strives to comfort us when we're hurting. All right, what else? How else does he act like a person?
Advocates.
All right, he advocates. He intercedes. He goes between us and, you know, the Father. And, you know, again, what we do the same. You know, if you have someone that works under you and they messed up and, you know, they're going to get in trouble, or to some degree you can either advocate to make the punishment worse or equal or something, and but, you know, you can be there. You know, within family dynamics, often, you know, one parent or the other is going to try to advocate on behalf of a child and try to, you know, lessen the punishment or come up with a punishment that equals what they did, kind of idea. Okay? Any other thoughts? How else does the Holy Spirit act like a person? Going once, going twice. All right. He's treated as a person. How is the Holy Spirit treated as a person? All right. He's talked to. Good. We talk to him. How else?
Yep, Chris?
Jesus is all in that scripture in John 14, so that he was going to send another helper. So Jesus was considering himself a helper, and he was the person who was sending someone else, and that would be the person to help him.
All right, so not only can we talk to him, but he is a helper. He's came to replace Christ as a helper. And it's not one that we see necessarily, but he is helping in that regard, helping us. Chris?
Can you refer to us as the third person?
All right, we call him the third person of the Trinity, and that's, I know we don't really, we'll talk about that more, but we don't see that specifically in Scripture, reference that, but we do see him as part of the Trinity. So we'll cover that down the road. How else is he treated as a person? All right, the Comforter. Good. What's that? All right, he in what way? Like, he has a consciousness? Okay, we do. All right. And well, the Holy Spirit kind of does too. I mean, he knows what's going on. So yes, he's treated as a person in the sense that he has an awareness of what's going on. Anybody else? Yep, Josh.
He is part of creating
himself. Okay, good. All right, good. He was present at creation. We'll look at that a little bit more too. But all right, he dwells with us. You know, just we dwell with the human race, and, you know, we can talk about the intimate relationship of a family that dwells within a household, or, you know, you live within a neighborhood, and, you know, hopefully you know some of your neighbors anyway, and, you know, you look out for neighbors and a church family, and, you know, we have meaning within us as far as dwelling and abiding with each other. Any other thoughts there? All right, we'll cover the next three next week. So, characteristics of a person, he acts like a person, he's treated as a person, and we'll wrap up there and we'll pick up there next week. But Father, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you that he has such a role, or wants to have such a role in our lives. Help us to utilize him, the power that he has, that he has been endowed with, the power that's available to us. If we would rely upon him and utilize him, help us to realize that he's not just some force or some spirit-like being, but that he is a person. He is someone that we can talk to, someone that we can get comfort from, someone that we can grieve, someone that we can hurt, and then help us to be aware of that as we go about our lives day to day. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.